I want to welcome you to episode 1506 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 8th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. In the show tonight, we've got Section 230 is 25 years old today. Facebook is banning vaccine disinformation. Reddit had a 5-second Super Bowl ad and promoting Wall Street or congratulating Wall Street bets. And I got a cool video to show you of a billion years of titanic plate movement. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast, live here from the New Media Production Studios in Coldwater, Michigan. And if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you. Thanks for being here. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do is get subscribed to the show right there in the right-hand column of the website, as well as sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight, delivered to you directly to your inbox immediately following the show. We want you to get involved. We want you to be subscribed to the show. If you're a longtime listener of the show or part of our insider program, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your continued support. And of course, you can always join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server or our Discord channel. Of course, we have a Slack channel as well. If you want to get on that, all you got to do is contact me via email. That's the easy way to do it. My email address is geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm available on Twitter @geeknews. You can, of course, follow me at Facebook. All my partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. That includes the New Media Show, includes a Pro Gear Guru site, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. He was off last week. We've got Podcast Legends and, of course, GNC Week in Review, produced by our own Kirk Corliss, who's an executive producer here at this show. Responsible for getting a lot of the articles that I talk about together. And tonight I had no additions or subtraction. Actually, one subtraction because it was a dupe. But other than that, Kirk did a great job getting the show together tonight. And as always, I want to thank him. Hey, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast since our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can find great deals. On domain names and hosting by just going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you're on the website, right there are the promo codes for you to save cash, lots of cash. Whether it be 30% off new product purchases at GoDaddy, whether it be a $499.com for newer transfer domains for new customers only, or, and yet these are by far the two best deals for hosting in the in really any place in the world. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year. $1 a month. Economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain. $1 a month. Managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Those are deals, my ladies and gentlemen, friends. It's crazy. $12. $12 gets you started with economy hosting at GoDaddy for a year. Or again, and you can do anything. You can experiment. You can be in the shower. You can have an idea for a business or a website, and you can kill two birds with one stone. Come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Click on the link to get a managed WordPress site. Sign up for it. Cash in that .com coupon. Get yourself that free domain name. And even if the idea doesn't pan out, it's a $12 investment for something that could turn from something small to very big. You've got 12 months to get it together, to launch it before it renews, to find out if it's going to be a good opportunity or not. Really, this is the way to go. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting first year of the free domain. For those of you that want to have like a click and play type of thing, they've got a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plan. That's a 1 month free trial. Definitely try that out. Give it a look. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor here. Again, we got the numbers in from GoDaddy a little low in January. So we ask you to really step up here in February. So do appreciate it when you do support the show. And again, every dime or every contribution or any movement with a sponsor directly supports the show and allows us to do what we do here. So it's very, very important. So all those codes work. They're not expiring. They've been verified to work and validated each and every day. So definitely check it out and go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Everyone, welcome back. I do have to just remind everyone, the studio here, the design is by the good friends at audimute.com, the AUDIMUTE.com. Tell Kevin over there, Kevin with an A, KEVAN. Ask Kevin, tell him Todd sent you, and you can get designs for your studio, designs for your home, designs for your office workplace. You're having trouble having good acoustics in your home and doing Zoom meetings and that kind of stuff? Well, AudiMute's got solutions for you, all right? So what's going on here? Last Thursday, I absolutely did not feel well. It kind of came on in the afternoon. And really, by about 8, I was actually feeling better. But it's just kind of, I had this wave of pounding headache, nauseousness. It just didn't feel good for a short amount of time. I have a good idea what it was, but just was down. I mean, I went to the house and just crashed. Last Thursday, sorry for no show, but when you kind of get hit like that, that's the way it is. If you're watching today on YouTube or watching on Netflix, my gosh, I wish we were on Netflix. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Facebook, make sure you say hi. If you're on Twitter, give us a heart. Definitely appreciate it on the post. But the weather's been crazy here in Michigan. Snow. It snowed every day now for the past, probably since last Thursday or Friday. The roads are slippery. I just peeked out the window. My car's got about 3 inches on it right now. So it's been snowing. And I was out about 3 o'clock and had run an errand and came back. So it's been raining. It's raining snow. So it should be a fun run home. Gotta be watch out. I gotta knock on some sort of wood. I think this is press board. I hope that works. I've been okay from a driving standpoint. It's the other people that I've had to really watch out for. But so far, knock on wood, I haven't ended up any ditches. So I have a tendency to have a bit of a lead foot too. So I have to kind of watch it. And who knows, maybe I'll be the one getting pulled out of a ditch next. But so far, knock on wood, all is well. It was really kind of a work on some projects weekend. I cleaned the studio. I mean, like down on my hands and knees and scrubbing some stuff. And, you know, it was just like, I don't know what got into me, but I went through the kitchen. I went through these main areas. I didn't get everything dusted. There's not too much dust here because the air filters do a good job. But I really did. I vacuumed and I think I spent about 5 hours, and it's the first real super scrub I've been given the office since I moved in. And if you think about that, that's pretty incredible because I'm running air filters on both ends of the building, and the dust level is really, really low. It still collects. I'm changing the filters in the furnace quite a bit too to make sure it stays down that way. But still, it just needed to be cleaned and deep scrubs on the bathrooms and everything. Same thing at the compound, at the house, at the loft. I did the same thing there. I don't know why I got on a cleaning mode. But worked on some projects. So it's just one of those weekends where, you know, nothing to do to go out because of the weather, or that you wanted to go out and do because of the weather. But that's what's going on. I'm going to do a couple of shows, 2-3 shows with audio only here in maybe the next couple of weeks. I've even talked to Rob about it and to go back to more of a, do just audio only. And I promise you guys I would do that at episode 1500. So, or somewhere around there. So I'm going to do some of that. And so anyway, that's what's forthcoming here. And, but I've had some news that I've been kind of sitting on, and I kind of wanted to wait till things kind of, settle themselves out. But if you live in Portland, Oregon, or somewhere near Quincy, Washington, I got a couple of kids need jobs. My son and his girlfriend left Los Angeles. They're now in Portland. They're in an apartment, signed a lease. So if you're looking to hire somebody in Portland, Oregon, I've got a son looking for a job. He's got some things kind of lined up. He's doing some things. But if you live in the Portland, Oregon area, drop me a line if you're hiring. He can come in and interview and see if you qualify. If you live in or around Quincy, Washington, my daughter Anna and her husband have moved to Quincy, Washington. Now, she may have another job lined up in a neighboring town, but she's out in the middle, just kind of like this area. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. And so Quincy, Washington, if you're in that area, somewhere close, looking to hire someone, she's looking too. So just let you know, put a shout out for my kids. And anyway, I think my son in Hawaii is going to be probably looking for a job too, come graduation time. So if any of my peeps back in Hawaii are looking to hire somebody, I'll send him your way. He's got a job now. He's doing the typical high schooler thing. He's working at a fast food place, and he's looking to move on from that at some point, obviously. But that's what's going on here. And of course, with jobs being in demand, crazy time to move, but move they did. So anyway, that's what's happening. Nothing really else going on. Just grind. Big, big grind, 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 grind here, like every other day. Feeling pretty good about everything going on. So there we go. All right, so let's go ahead. Just as a reminder, my writers at Geek News Central are doing a great job putting new content out. So make sure that you're getting over there and reading the website every couple of days, getting caught up on stuff that I don't cover here that's covered there. So very little overlap, honestly, in a lot of the content on geeknewscentral.com, but take time to do that. Also, the insider stuff, did not work on that at all. I am that I hope to get knocked out this week, but we're going to do that new insider podcast, a private podcast, if you're a contributor to the show. And we've had a number of you come on as new contributors, so I'm fully aware what I owe you and on an ongoing basis. So we'll get that fired up here soon. Thank you for your ongoing support. It's greatly appreciated. And if you want to become an insider, go to geekcentral.com/insider. Let's go ahead and get into the stack. The first thing today, of course, is a Section 230 turn 25 today. And really, from my perspective, I agree with the headline. It's never been more important. And I think for small companies like mine, Section 230 is like, and we've talked about it on the show already many times, is that I don't want to have to be a traffic cop. I don't want to have to be going and checking all the content that's on my platform. I want to be that provider that follows Section 230 to the T and yet responds when there's a DMCA takedown or if there is some sort of an issue or we need to respond and review content. But Section 230, when followed correctly, like companies like mine, at least I feel we follow it correctly, is super, 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 super valuable and allows us to do business in a way we probably couldn't if Section 230 was completely changed. You know, there's been a lot of discussion, and we don't have to go over it here tonight because we've done it before in previous shows about how Facebook and Twitter may be, you know, subject to, you know, them being editorializing by choosing which content gets promoted and which doesn't, which gets taken down. That's all to be debated over the long term. But we think, based upon stuff going on already in Washington, D.C., that Section 230 probably is going to have some reform bills. And they've been introduced by Democrats already on things that they want to add to or change in Section 230. So time will tell. But I did think there was a good point in here is that Section 230 versus the First Amendment. You know, hate speech on the internet is a never-ending problem, but it is protected, believe it or not, by the First Amendment. Now, you can say what you're going to say and get in trouble and get, you know, the backlash from using hate speech, but it's actually protected speech. Section 230 has nothing to do with hate speech. But sometimes those get intermixed. So remember, First Amendment rights and you being able to say what you want to say here in the United States, or whatever rights you have in the country that you live in, at least here in the United States, is covered underneath the First Amendment. Section 230 is more in effect of if someone says hate speech on my platform and I don't know about it and haven't been informed about it, I can't be held liable for it until I decide to take action or not action based upon a report of that content. At Blueberry, my podcasting company, we have a lawyer that looks at content, looks at speech, and determines whether or not it was hate or not, violence to others and so forth. And we decide to, what we're going to do with that content. We're going to take it down. We're going to essentially fire the content creator from our platform. And basically, meaning canceling their service. Luckily, we have not had to do that because it hasn't been a problem up this day. We've had a few issues with certain episodes and stuff like that, but they weren't even often hosted by us. So the Section 230 thing is really, really important for companies like mine, and I hope that you'll keep an open mind as Congress starts looking at this and how they change it and vocalize your opinion to your representative to make sure that it follows in what you think and how you've been educated on Section 230. If Section 230 was repealed, the internet would really change in a big, big way. It would make it very hard to do business because ambulance chasers would line up and sue every site on the planet because we had not taken something down. So we have to be very, very, very careful about the protection of Section 230, but at the same time, companies can't have their cake and eat it too. So there's an issue there, as we've talked about many times on this show. Now, not surprising, Facebook is banning vaccine misinformation. And they're taking a tougher stance on the vaccine with the help of the WHO. I know the opinions vary on the WHO, but you can see the full list on its help center, but some of the notable ones include claims that suggest COVID-19 is man-made. Isn't it? Or that it's safer to get sick from the disease than it is to get vaccinated against it. Of course, I'm not going to jump on that one, but it's interesting they've decided to say that COVID-19 was natural and not man-made. How do they know that? Really? You know, that to me is a hmm. And what does that have to do with the vaccine? It also said the company will remove claims that the vaccines are toxic or that they can cause autism. And I know there's a lot of people that listen to the show that are, anti-vaccine. So they're going to focus on pages, groups, and accounts that violate those new rules. And the company says it remove repeat violators. Meanwhile, moderators, a group that violated Facebook policy against COVID-19 and vaccine misinformation in the past, will have to approve every post on their page. So Facebook is pounding the government line and not allowing people to have a discussion about this anymore. So I guess the key is to be careful on the claims. It's okay to have an opinion, I think, at least maybe or maybe not on Facebook. I wonder if I can say on my Facebook page, it's my opinion that COVID-19 was created by the Chinese government. I wonder if that would be allowed speech on Facebook. I didn't say it was. It was my opinion. So therein lies the challenge, right? Where are they going to draw the line? Hi, Liz. Hi, Toby. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever, make sure you say hello. So anyway, they're banning vaccine misinformation as they see it with information from the WHO. And can we really trust the WHO, to be frank? I did not watch the Super Bowl. I found that this morning who won could have a care in the world, although there was a very, very cute picture of my granddaughter with getting ready to watch the Super Bowl down in Tampa with her mom and dad. So she was having Super Bowl snacks, half all over her face. It was fantastic. But during the Super Bowl, Reddit celebrated the Super Bowl with an ad, a 5-second ad. They spent their entire marketing budget on a five. Now that you think about that, they spent their entire marketing budget for 2021 on a 5-second Super Bowl ad. And it displayed the Reddit logo. And then it said, switch to something that says, wow, that actually worked. This actually worked. And, you know, you had to go to Reddit to see it. It says, wow, this actually worked. If you're reading this, it means our bets paid off. Big game spots are expensive, so we couldn't buy a full one, but we were inspired and decided to spend our entire marketing budget on 5 seconds of airtime. One thing we learned from our communities last week is that underdogs can accomplish just about anything when they come together around a common idea. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the reason finance textbooks have to add a chapter on attendees. Maybe you'll help support r/Ford Superb Owl. Teach the world about the majesty of owls. Maybe he'll even pause this 5-second ad. Power things happen when people rally around something they really care about, and there's a place for it. It's called Reddit. And what they really were doing was in the first part of the ad, they actually showed the Wall Street Bets logo. And so congratulations to Reddit on their 5-second ads, a most talked about thing today on the internet. So they got their money's worth on that one for sure. And was a 60-second spot or a 30-second spot costing millions. Maybe it was a million, but it was 5 seconds. So how many of you saw it? Did you think it was cool? Yeah, here's what they showed on the first part of the screen. And so very, very, very cool. But they got their own Super Bowl ad. They're very, very cool. All right. So link to those will be up in the show notes. So we all know that we're sitting on plates, tectonic plates, right? Tectonic plates move an inch, maybe two a year. They don't move very much, right? They don't wander around. It's not like we're, us in North America will end up in Antarctica next month. It doesn't move well unless we get hit by an asteroid or something. But there's a very, very cool video. It's 41 seconds. I don't know if I can play it legally. I'll show you just a little bit of it for those of you watching. And it just shows what has happened over a billion years. They've recreated how our planet looked over an eon of time. Continents shift, oceans reshape, the world is almost recognizable until we move closer to modern times. And, the plates can account for radical changes in locations of land masses. And of course, land masses can disappear as they push under one another and so forth. But, everything looks like it does today, but it didn't look that way a billion years ago. So the scientists published a paper on the model in the March 2021 issue of the journal Earth Science Reviews. And how they came up with this, I have no idea. They just could have made it up and I would have believed it, but I'm sure some poor PhD student probably spent 2 years trying to figure this out, or maybe a whole bunch of people did. I don't know. But with computer simulation today, they can show what Earth looked like a billion years ago. And the tectonic plate movement since then. 15 Twitter safety tips to protect your account and your identity. What do you mean? We're supposed to protect our identity with Twitter? Isn't it about being on Twitter and kind of showing oneself off? 1, never share personal information. 2, turn off geotagging on your tweets. 3, regularly review which applications can access your account. 4, change your password frequently. 5, preview short URLs before you click. And it just goes on and on and on. So if you want to know how to participate on Twitter more safely, I'll have the link in the show notes for you to check that out. Along with that, and these are two articles that I've actually had three tonight. This come from Muo, M-U-O.com, new tech source that that Kirk's been finding. But 10 internet safety do's and don'ts to keep you secure online. And I tell this to everyone, and I run these on every one of my Macs. I run antivirus software, and I update them regularly. I do choose strong passwords with a password generator, not some secret decoder ring stuff. I don't know. I'm pretty public. Not a lot I can do about hiding my personal information. But I do stay away from suspicious clickbait. I do enable two-factor authentication. I don't use a single password for different websites or variations of them. I don't stick. Well, I do have a single email account, but I have multiple under my business. Of course, don't store personal card details on websites. So, you know, you can tell the websites to store your credit card when you're checking out. The only site that I allow to have my credit card information in is Amazon. Every other site, I don't let them store my credit card because I use Amazon enough. I don't want to have to go back and enter it every time. But anyway, some good advice there. Again, the link will be up in the show notes for you to purview and take a look at. Hey, if you've moved to YouTube watching the show, just so you know, we've got everything fixed with the screen sharing and everything. So we're good there. You can watch on Facebook. You can watch on the live.geeknewscentral.com page as well. So there's a new, listen to this, there is a new streaming service coming called Paramount Plus. Well, it's actually from a service that is already in existence. So what's going to happen on March 21st, is CBS All Access is being officially rebranded to Paramount Plus. So CBS All Access is officially being rebranded to Paramount Plus on March 4th. On that date, CBS All Access accounts will allow you to begin streaming Paramount Plus, meaning you can even sign up now at CBS All Access to start streaming before the changes occur. So what's going to happen? Pricing details haven't been revealed for Paramount Plus, so expect it to launch at the same cost as CBS All Access. You can choose from $5.99 with limited commercials and $9.99 per month with the same content with zero commercials. So anyway, CBS All Access is going to switch to Paramount Plus. I don't know. Is that a good move? Does it make sense? You tell me. Chromecast, you have a Chromecast? Chromecast with Google TV has an update. It brings improved support for 4K 60. So that's for 4K 60 streaming. That's 4,000 pixels by 60 hertz, I think. And my internet connection will not support 4K 60. I think I get to watch everything in like 720 or 480. Come on, Elon Musk, let's hurry up. Let's get those satellites in the air. My God, killing me. So Chromecast with Google TV. Now, my Sony TV did not get an update, so we'll see if that quickly follows because it's running on basically Chrome TV, Google TV. Did you hear Elon Musk bought $1.5 billion worth of cryptocurrency? It didn't make the news thing today, but I saw that on some news flash on my phone today. I wanted to load that because it's I see if I can find it. But $1.5 billion in cryptocurrency. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. A filing has made Tesla's bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, so it will start accepting Bitcoin as a payment method for its products in the future. That's crazy. And if you bought any Bitcoin today, it probably bumped up. So this was an SEC filing that said they had done this. That's a big move. That's an incredible investment. Tesla's move into Bitcoin represents an investment of a significant percentage of its cash. The company had more than $19 billion cash and cash equivalents on hand at the end of 2020. The move raises questions around Elon Musk's recent behavior on Twitter, where he's been credited for increasing the price of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Dogecoin by posting positive messages that have encouraged more people to buy the digital currency. 2 weeks ago, he added the hashtag Bitcoin to his Twitter bio, a move that helped to briefly push up prices of cryptocurrency by as much as 20%. 2 days later, he said on the social media chat club Clubhouse, "I do at this point think that Bitcoin is a good thing, and I am a supporter of Bitcoin." So listen to this. Listen to this. Bitcoin prices surged to new highs following Tesla's announcement, reaching a price of $44,200. Tesla shares were up more than 2%. So, wow. We'll see if he gets in trouble for any of this discussion stuff. But that's a big, big, big move. And there's an article over CNET says that Apple should jump on the cryptocurrency bandwagon. Analysts think Apple's success with its cashless transaction technology makes it a prime candidate for the crypto market. They're saying Apple should launch its own cryptocurrency exchange. Well, why not just buy Bitcoin? If Apple went down this path, the USA would likely acquire the most crypto assets from a global perspective, the report said. If USA owns, so as Apple should launch its own cryptocurrency, the report by Canadian broker, spotted earlier by CoinDesk, said the Apple wallet used by millions an increasingly cashless society, Apple could easily generate over $40 billion by making the jump to cryptocurrency. If Apple went down this path, the USA would likely acquire the most crypto assets from a global perspective. If the USA owns the most crypto assets, be it Bitcoin or other assets, it would not make logical sense, in our view, to ban it. In addition, with Apple's secure and world-class software, the USA would be able to have confidence in user information and balances if needed in the future. So this is an interesting discussion. I don't know why they say USA, USA, because if Apple did Bitcoin, it would be Apple's. So I don't know. Maybe USA as a whole. So lots of move on the cryptocurrency front. My mom's going to be pissed because she's been trying to get a Coinbase account set up and having trouble tying banking financial institutions to it. Anyone using anything else out there? Let me know. Speed Test app now measures your network's ability to stream video. And it's iOS for now only. So now they can benchmark your internet's video streaming quality. Boy, I should check that at my place. The test is focused specifically on video. It tends to stream at a variety of resolutions and measures load times and buffering. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to start posting. I'm going to post some of those tests from the house so you guys can see how bad I've got it and why I'm waiting on Elon to get his satellites up. I'll happily pay in Bitcoin for the service. So if you're shooting a YouTube video, and you're going to do a robbery prank, you best tell everyone involved. A 20-year-old has been shot dead, allegedly taking part in a prank robbery being filmed for YouTube. Witness told police Timothy Wilkes and a friend had approached a group of people outside a family trampoline park in Nashville, Tennessee, holding large knives. Mr. Wilkes was then shot by a 23-year-old who told the police he had no idea it had been a prank and had been acting in self-defense. Mr. Wilkes' friend told officers the prank had been for a YouTube video. No one has been arrested. Robbery prank videos are relatively common on YouTube, sometimes involving fake firearms and all kinds of crazy stuff, but mostly people are in on it. YouTube is actually banned this type of content when it's basically all parties are not knowing. So here's a guy that's lost his life shooting a YouTube video doing a prank robbery. You walk up on someone these days in a concealed carry state and you are pranking a robbery, you're holding a knife in someone and being acting like you're trying to rob them, you're going to get shot. I know, I'm amazed about the number of people that I've run into that casually I find out they carry, they're concealed carry. People I would have never thought carry are carrying. It's really a prevalent thing. Of course, when I lived in Hawaii, no one could conceal carry because they hadn't approved any concealed carry permits in years. But that's not the case in this state and many others. So you're going to prank a robbery. Boy, maybe you better wear a bulletproof vest as well. But that isn't going to slow you down if you get shot in the head either. So, man, oh, man. Insanity, right? Apparently, the Apple Hyundai car talks have ended fruitlessly. So rumors of an Apple car are just that, still a rumor. So nothing has perspired. Yeah, perspired. The talks are off. And I'm perspiring here in the studio. Oh, I crack myself up sometimes. Yeah, I'm an idiot. So moving on here. In Alabama, Amazon warehouse workers prepare to face down Amazon in a union vote. This warehouse in Alabama could become the first to unionize the United States. So for the next several weeks, Amazon warehouses in Bessemer, Alabama will vote on whether to become the first of the company's U.S. employees to unionize. The only other U.S. Amazon employees to make it as far as union elections was a small group of maintenance workers at a Delaware warehouse in 2014. That effort failed after an aggressive anti-union campaign from a company that has long been hostile to workers organized. Of course, we've heard Jeff Bezos is going to step down as CEO. He's going to take a different role with the company here later than a year. Maybe he's ready to put someone else in the hot seat, but we'll see what happens with his Alabama move. One of the most interesting articles I read today, and it really makes me sad, is about Apple's app stores hosting multi-million dollar scams, says an iOS developer. Developer Costa, I can't even pronounce his last name, my God, Costa Eleftherio, Eleftherio. So I'm sorry there, Costa. What is that, Greek? I'm not sure. It says the Apple Store is fundamentally broken. And really what it is people are just basically, they find popular other developers, mostly overseas, finding popular apps. They're downloading them. They're installing them. They're copying them. They're then uploading them in the Apple Store, and then they fake reviews to make the original app not sell as well, and then people make a lot of money. So this is going on a lot. He says, the App Store is a big problem. You, an honest developer working hard to improve your IP conversions, in other words, your sales, where your competitor is doing $2 million a year scam on an app that was based upon their app. They just copied it. They used his promotion videos. So outright stole it. The subscription scam apps that Apple allow in the App Store are really are bananas. While they're busy hunting legitimate developers down for their pound of flesh, they're letting these hyenas strive on the savannah unopposed. He says below, you see live wallpaper Z. They're allowed to keep stealing $40,000 a month from unsuspecting people. How do I know? Well, they copied his app. Apple took down another app I exposed, but it is. So once again, Apple took down another, he says, this is what this guy says. So once again, Apple took down another app I exposed, but is cool with the developer running their own, their other, even more profitable scan. I'm speechless. So basically, Apple's taking one down and letting the other one stay. So please be careful of the apps that you're picking out there and you're paying subscriptions for. It's good to do a little editing on this on a regular basis. DoorDash has acquired salad-making robot company Chowbotics. The food delivery platform says the deal will let it help restaurant clients expand their offerings. So I have never seen a Chowbotics machine that makes a salad for you. I've never seen one of these. I think it'd be pretty cool. I'm sure it's only in hipster communities. in big towns, not in some place like Coldwater, Michigan. I was talking to another person about the food options here. Whew. They were more brutal than I was. Moving on, the Justice Department's dropped a challenge to California's net neutrality rules. Well, change of leadership, and this stuff kind of happens. The Justice Department dropped its 2018 lawsuit challenging California state net neutrality rules on Monday, removing one of the law's major roadblocks, preventing it from going into effect. In 2017, the Federal Communication Commission voted to repeal the Obama-era internet regulations banning internet service providers like AT&T and Verizon from throttling or blocking traffic and implementing paid fast lanes. The following year, California passed its own law instituting net neutrality rules at the state level. That law was quickly challenged by the Justice Department, which argued that California law was preempted by the FCC's 2017 repeal. I am pleased the Department of Justice has withdrawn this lawsuit. When the FCC over my objection rolled back its net neutrality policy, states like California sought to fill the void with their own laws, FCC Acting Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel said in a statement Monday. By taking this step, Washington is listening to the American people who overwhelmingly support an open internet, is charting a course to once again make net neutrality the law of the land. So link will be up in the show notes. As you guys remember, I am a fan of net neutrality. I don't like the ability for companies to implement speed lanes and all this other stuff. So interesting move here. Hackers tampered with a water treatment facility in Florida by changing chemical levels, but the hacker did it while the operator was looking at his screen. This happened twice. A plant operator was monitoring the system about 8 a.m. Friday, noticed that someone briefly accessed it. He did not find this unusual because his supervisor remotely accessed the system on a regular basis. But again, at 1:30 the same day, someone accessed the system. This time, he said the operator watched as someone took control of the mouse, directed to the software that controls water treatment, worked inside it for 3 to 5 minutes, and increased the amount of sodium hydroxide from 100 parts per million to 11,100 parts per million. The attacker left the system, and the operator immediately changed the concentration back to 100 parts per million. And the county says there's other safeguards in place that would have prevented direct harm. For one, the water would have taken more than a day to enter water supply, meaning ample public warning could have been issued in that time. There are also redundancies in the system that caused changes to the acidity of the water supply, the sheriff's department says. But makes you go, at my house, we pump the water out of a well. This laptop has 7 times the average number of screens. Behold, a multitasker's dream device. I think this is made for traders. A company called Expansecape has created the most Inspector Gadget-like device. It's a laptop prototype called Aurora 7, and attached to its humongous black box of chassis are six extra displays that extend out every direction. Wait till you guys see this. Those of you that are listening, you need to look at this Frankenstein thing they put together. It's crazy. Why not get a desktop and get a bunch of screens? These hinges are crazy. You know, many laptop hinges don't gracefully handle having more than one screen attached. But to have seven? My. They're running the mid-range NVIDIA GTX 1060, which really isn't a powerhouse. It has an Intel Core i9 with 64 gigs of RAM. But are they actually going to sell this thing? It's a prototype. So yeah, it's somebody's weird idea of a joke here, I'm assuming. Maybe some coder would like this. I don't know, but it's truly like, if you're going to have this many monitors, run it off a desktop. You know, be frank. Microsoft removed the old Edge browser from all Windows 10 PCs on April 13th. So if you accept that security patch, the legacy version of Microsoft Edge will vanish forever. Are you ready for that to happen? You ready for it to vanish? Twitter, interesting, explores subscriptions to reduce its dependency on ads. Huh. Not so thrilled about Twitter ads? Neither is Twitter. So they're exploring subscriptions and even tipping. I don't know about that. Would you pay for Twitter? I just wonder if this will work. We're being nickel-dimed to death. You know, the old rumor about Facebook charging a subscription has went around. It's been a meme that's run around. You know, I've seen it probably 100 times over 10 years. But this one is real. Twitter might be looking to charge. Facebook is not. Samsung's 8K Neo QLED TV starts at $3,500. If you are a big fan of Samsung TVs, which I am not so much, but the company revealed the pricing availability for its latest 4K 8K mini LED models. Again, these are mini. These are not this big. They're, well, 55 to 85, while the 8K TVs are 65 and 85. So, yeah, pretty big. And they're going to ship next month. They're going to be part of the Neo QLED 8K lineup on the QN900A series. And Samsung, all the higher number, the better the TV. The lower the number, the worst. $3,500. Is that thing going to scrub my back in a shower too? $3,500. Holy smokes. SIRI now allows setting a default music streaming service on iOS 14.5. So this is a developer-only beta version. It's not available to you yet. Among the list of new features, Apple's introduced new functionality within SIRI that enables a virtual assistant to set a default music streaming service aside from Apple Music and maybe set your default podcasting app as well. That's the rumor I'm hearing. As well, Mark Cuban is co-founding a podcast app where hosts can talk to fans live and monetize their conversations. So this is an interesting move because if you think about it, big YouTubers have been able to monetize their YouTube live events. Not a lot of podcasters do live. But if he's putting together a podcast app where hosts can talk to fans live, record it, and monetize their conversations, this is a direct spin on Clubhouse. So, this is an idea similar to the Buzzy Live's audio startup Clubhouse, except with the ability to natively record conversations. And what's funny is here, he's going to call this Fireside, and there's another podcast host that is called Fireside. So I'm sure they're going to have a little bit of issue, but Fireside, the podcast host, has been around for quite a while, run by one of the OG podcasters. So we'll see what happens with this Mark Cuban offering. The Google Play Pass app with over 10 million installs has been outed as malware. Ah, so what is this one? So another case of service, an app turning into malware right under Play Protector's nose, and this time the perpetrator is a Play Pass app with over 10 million installs. The generically named barcode scanner app has been removed since its discovery, but Devler's account remained active and offers other applications. So they were running malware. So the company that found this was Malwarebytes. So I'm a big fan of Malwarebytes. Security company Malwarebytes writes that some of their forum users reported strange behavior with their browsers open the scary website, telling the Saul Cleaner app for the phone due to bogus security issues. Don't ever do that. It took some time to find the culprit, but it was the barcode app. So link will be up in the show notes. This is on AndroidPolice.com. How are you organizing your digital photos? Are they all over the place? Can you not find stuff? Many of us have photo archives going back maybe 20 years already now. So this is a good article from dumblittleman.com. 9 best ways to organize your digital photos. And there's some really good advice in here. I actually was impressed by this list. Number one, choose one place to store your photos. I have one major place and 2 backups, but I work only in updating them and on that single original place. 2, use folder names related to particular events. I organize my stuff by year and by event. The best way I can do it to organize stuff. So it could be 2021, New Year's Eve, 2021, Valentine's Day, 2021, you know, whatever the activity is, a wedding or church or whatever it is, you try to organize them that way. Name photos by analogy with folders. Now, I don't have time to name every photo. That's not possible. But there is metadata management as well. It allows locating a particular photo in an instant based on descriptive keywords. So if you have time to put the metadata in, that's great. But you should also store your photos on backup on an external hard drive. I have mine external hard drive. I also have myself on my network attached storage device. And they even recommend some drives. You can use cloud storage. My primary storage location is the cloud. And duplicates. Lots of duplicates can get introduced. There's lots of duplicate tools here to find duplicates and use favorites. So again, there's lots of information here. Also, remember, if you're storing on Chrome Photo and you're not paying for Chrome Photo, you're not getting they're not storing the high resolution photo. They're storing a dumbed down version of the photo. So you have to have those masters someplace, okay? Switching gears here completely, U.S. IT jobs grow in January, defying broader employment struggles. Both IT professionals and tech sector saw job growth last month. As the tech industry recovery continues, so they added, in January, the U.S. economy struggled. Oh, come on, computer world. You're the biggest abuser of pop-ups. So the seasonal adjusted IT job growth last month was 18,200 in the IT, when there was only 49,000 jobs created overall. So for some reason, the IT space did really, really, really well. And that's going to bring me to the end today. A little shorter show. But let me see if I've got some comments that have come in. I think I accidentally closed an email account. And not the important one. So on Saturday, the 13th, at I think it's going to be 6 p.m. Eastern. I've agreed to be on a 1-hour Clubhouse event talking about getting started in podcasting. And I'll try to get the information for the next show. But if you have a Clubhouse account, let me know. I had no one from, I only announced that on the new media show. If you would like a Clubhouse invite, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And I think I've got five. And if you want a Clubhouse invite, send me an email. Let me know you want one. First come, first serve. I need your mobile phone number, and it only works on iOS. If you have an Android device, you're out of luck because they only implemented it initially on iOS. So if you'd like a Clubhouse invite, I've got five to give out. Maybe you can join me on Saturday. Find out what this Clubhouse thing is all about. And but anyway, you got to send me an email with your iOS mobile phone number. Now, if you have an iPad, you can use the you got to find the number. First of all, you got to get in your iPad settings and find the iOS number, the telephone number associated with that iPad. That'll work as well. So I believe, but best on your mobile phone. Okay. All right. I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me today. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to send me comments. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And everything's going great here. No complaints. Lots of crazy snow, obviously. So as I get the show post-produced tonight, I'll get the car started about 15 minutes before I go out there. And hopefully the car won't be somewhere. You know one thing? The only thing I don't like about my car is when I auto-start it, the steering wheel heats up. And I don't know what it is in that Ford Edge, but that steering wheel gets, it gets hot. Hotter than it's a first thing I shut off. I get in the car before I even touch the steering wheel because I know it's going to be warm. No fun to me. Nothing happened. Just so you guys are kind of aware, I woke up this morning. It was like 3 degrees. And for some reason, I got to thinking about a drainage pipe on the side of one of the buildings at the compound. And I went and it was froze like a big dog. So I had to get that defrosted and then put heat tape on it. You guys know what that is? You basically have it's a electric, it looks like a best way to describe it is an extension cord, except it gets warm. And you can wrap it around pipe to keep the pipe warm so the pipe don't freeze. So I was doing that today after I picked up. I had to make a special run the house so I couldn't, that pipe wouldn't freeze up again, and stand in the snow and put that on. But took me 40 minutes this morning to defrost that pipe with a hairdryer. So yeah, a little cold here. But otherwise, I hope you've all had a good time with me. And check to see if I missed anybody on YouTube. Oh, there were some people over there, but no one said hello. That's okay. But thanks for watching the show tonight. We'll be back with you on Thursday. God willing, everyone take care. Be safe. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.